You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're in the midst of the Gospel of Luke. We're at chapter 19 and verse 45. Yahshua has entered into Jerusalem, and he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and he preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders, and spake unto him, saying, Tell us, by what authority dost thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said to them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And so they went and huddled. They had a little huddle there. And it says they reasoned within themselves, saying, If we say from heaven, he will say, Why then believed ye him not? And if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they're persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said to them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen, and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen, that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also, and entreated him shamefully, and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also, and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be when they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. Well, here we have a picture of the last days of Israel, the last days of the temple priest sacrificial system, the end of national Israel, as foretold by Daniel the prophet. The 70 weeks were in the 70th week, and those of that time who reasoned and understood the prophecies of Scripture, they knew what week it was from Daniel's prophecies. They knew exactly what week it was. And many of them said, you know, like one brother said to another brother, Come, we have found the Messiah. They were looking for him. And many others were persuaded by those things that were written before, persuaded of others. And so the Messiah is here, and he's telling the story about what happens. So he casts them out of the vineyard. They killed the son. He's talking, of course, about himself. And he says, What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? And talking about the Almighty God, the Creator, the one who gave Israel the trust, the kingdom of God on earth, the oracles of God, through whom the seed of the Messiah was to come, and who through whom the seed of the Messiah came. And of course, the servants that he sent were the prophets, whom they killed. And now they're going to kill his only begotten son. And they said, when they heard that, they said, God forbid! What an awful story! Who would do such a thing? And he beheld them, and he said, What is this, then, that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And of course, the stone that the builders rejected, of course, the builders being national Israel and the leaders of national Israel, time and time again, they killed, imprisoned the prophets, and finally they're going to kill the only begotten Son of God. They're going to reject the cornerstone of Israel, the Messiah, the one that was awaited from the beginning, from Adam and Eve, the seed of the woman. So he calls us all to fall on him. And he says, if you don't fall on me, the time will come when I will fall on you and you will be crushed to powder, ground to powder. And we can read about that. We can see that in the template that we have, or at least the main part of the template for eschatology from Daniel's image, where that stone made without hands becomes a great mountain and fills the whole earth. And of course, it strikes the image in the feet and grounds it to powder. And then it's blown away like the chaff of the threshing floor, so that no place is found for it. And no place in his kingdom, in other words, is found for those that do not fall on the rock. The rock will fall on them. So fall on the rock. There you go. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. Well, they had enough perception to figure that one out. Instead of fearing God and saying, wow, you know, understanding, they think, well, we're gonna fulfill this prophecy, this parable. Come, let us kill him. Right? Otherwise he's gonna take the kingdom from us. And the chief priests, they perceived he spoke the parable against them, and they watched, and they sent for spies that should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, so that they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Is it lawful? But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? And they answered and said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And so for all of you that are in the income tax revolt movement, or whatever they call it these days, and you go to church and the corporate pastors, which can't say anything else, otherwise they're breaking their agreement with the state, they'll tell you, render unto Caesar's those things which are Caesar's. But you know, something I never hear come out of their mouth is the whole thing, and unto God the things which be God's. Let me see. If it has an image and a superscription of Caesar or somebody on it, well, I guess you should, and they come and ask you for it, you should give it to them, because it is theirs. You know, those Federal Reserve notes you hold in your pocket. Yeah. They don't belong to you by law. They never did. They never will. You just possess them, and you have a property right in them, but you do not own them. And if the maker by law comes to you and says, give them to me, well, you have to give them to him, because by law you don't own them. Like I said, you only have a property right in them, and that property right in the notes that you possess is governed by the law which they make governing those notes. So that's what you're subject to, and they can change that at any time. So that's a kind of a, gotta be aware of that type of property right. Now, at the same time, you know, he said, show me the coin, show me the penny. And it may have been a copper, it may have been silver, whatever, it doesn't matter. And it has an image on it, and it had a superscription, probably something pertaining to Rome and Caesar. But There's another saying, render unto God the things which be God's. And what does the scripture say? For the whole earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and everything, and everyone therein. So he owns not only the earth, everything in it, but everyone on it. He owns everything. We own nothing. We are simply stewards, even as Caesar is simply a steward. So if what you have belongs to Caesar, and you look to Caesar for benefits, if you're in the world and of it, well, then you better render to whom is due whatever is due. However, if you're in the world, but you're not of it, and everything that you have belongs to God, well, then you better be obedient to your Heavenly Father and do with whatever you have as He bids you to do. That's all I can say about that. You know, if you owe income tax, pay it. If you have an agreement, you know, if you have an association with organizations and fictions of men and corporations, well, then you better keep all those agreements. You better look into them. And if you want out of them, well, look into their law, and perhaps their law has a way that you can get out of it. Like what Paul says, if you're a slave, he says, serve as unto the Lord. But if you can be made free, rather use it. So he's saying there's a preference, liberty, freedom to serve God without the encumbrance of an earthly master is preferable. And if you can look into the law that made you a slave and you can use that law to become free, well, then rather use it. So there you have it. Render therefore to Caesar the things which be Caesar's. And if you belong to Caesar, if you are identified with him, you know, if they come up to you and say, where do you reside? Are you a resident of California? And you say yes. Well, then everything you have belongs to Caesar. Everything you have belongs to the state of California if you are a resident. Because if you take the word apart in law, resident, it's not a very nice word. Well, it's rather benign, the two words. One is res, that law means thing. And of course, ident means, would refer to your identity. So if you are a thing identified of the U.S., of the state of California, of whatever state you're in. Now, that's why we are sojourners in Christ. That's why it's better to own nothing in this world, to own absolutely nothing. And that's why I say practice, you know, the inheritance laws of the scripture. And you'll find that you owe nothing in this world. You are a sojourner because the inheritance laws of our Heavenly Father, as given to Israel in the wilderness, means that everything you have, you're going to pass on because you're just sojourning. And they're going to pass on to someone who is going to further the kingdom of God as you are furthering the kingdom of God. And if you're not furthering the kingdom of God, well, you just go ahead and render to Caesar what is Caesar's, because everything you have belongs to Caesar and you are subject to Caesar or whatever, USA or whatever other fiction you have out there, or king or magistrate or potentate that you're under. But if you belong to God, then everything you have belongs to Him. And you need to be obedient to Him in that case. And they could not take hold of His words before the people. So they tempted Him, you know, they're trying to go, and so He has the right answer for them. They didn't think of that answer, because they just like, well, if He says, don't pay taxes, then, you know, we can take Him before Caesar and have him tried for insurrection against Rome. And if he says, pay your taxes, then the people will hate him. Because nobody likes Rome in here collecting tribute. They're thinking this is a no-win situation for the Messiah. Right? But he's got the correct answer. He says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God's. And he answers the question correctly. Not in a way. So they had nothing that they could take hold of his words before the people. And they marveled at his answer. And of course, they held their peace. What could they say? Chapter 20, verse 27. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. And they asked him, Master, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man hath a brother, any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Okay, so bringing back the law of Moses, let's say, you know, you and your brother, you know, you have three or four brothers, seven brothers in this case, and this is kind of a comical story too, so perhaps we can find a little humor here. I always like to find a little humor in the scripture when I can. So anyway, the law required that if your brother died, well, the next brother is supposed to take his wife and his children and raise them up. So that means that the brother would have another wife if he already had one, or if he didn't have one, which in some instances, we find one story where a man died, left a wife, and his wife, the widow, is waiting for the other brother to come of age so that she can raise up children. But so that's what the law allowed. The law even required a man to take another wife in some instances, for all of you that are stuck and think it's an abomination. Well, the law required it in many instances. So it required the man to take his brother's wife, whether he had a wife already or not. And, you know, this is a law that's not practiced by the church. It would be thought abominable. And why would it be thought abominable in the church? I'll tell you why it would be thought abominable. Because we don't take wives according to God's law in the church anymore. Oh, no. We lift up the idolatry of romance, and that's how we get our wives, like the world, you know. Well, you got to date and fall in love, and, you know, you got to try them out for a while and see how they're going to work. We don't follow God's law at all. We fall in love, and then we get married, and then we wonder why it doesn't work. It doesn't work, and then we end up practicing serial monogamy like the world, and we wonder why it doesn't work. Because you're practicing the idolatry of romance rather than the law of God, and this is just a small part of it. But let's continue with the story here, that the Sadducees, who don't believe in a resurrection, they bring him. And they say, Master, Moses wrote unto us, and referring to the law, if a man's brother die having a wife and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her to wife, and like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. And I'd be checking into this woman here. I think they would start calling her a black widow by the time she got three or four brothers, and they all die. You know, something's not right about this story. So it's rather a comical story. It's one that would be unlikely to happen. How many brothers? I mean, you know, one, two, but, you know, three or four up to seven. It's unlikely that these brothers wouldn't be running as far and as fast as they could, regardless of the law. But anyway, we have the story here. These Sadducees bring this unlikely, comical story up. And he said, therefore the seven, and this second took, and all like manner, they all left no children, they all died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, because they all have to die for the story, of course, because therefore in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said to them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry or are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed that at the bush when he calleth the Lord the God, he called Yahuwah, the Creator, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So now he's addressing their true question. The question is about the resurrection, And that's what they're trying to trick him into. Because they wonder, hey, we got something he can't answer, right? And to follow the law and all that stuff. But he answers their true question here. He calls the Creator, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Then a certain of the scribes answering said, Master, thou hast well said. Because, of course, the scribes and the Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection, whereas the Sadducees did not. And you've all heard the joke, that's why they're sad, you see. Okay, there I said it again. And the scribe answering said, Master, thou hast well said. And after that, they durst not ask him any questions at all. And they kept trying to trick him, trying to back him into a corner, but he always had the right answer for him, one that they could not gainsay. And he says to them, How say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And there's a good place. We'll pick up there. We'll take that up next time on Cross the Border. Do visit my website. Email me if it's just to say hi. Comment on the studies. Tell me you're listening. Take advantage of the resources there, the Bible studies. And make sure you watch that little video there. And remember, in everything you say and in everything you do, always praise his holy name. Hallelujah.